I'm going to read from John 21, the first 17 chapters. First 17 chapters. That's going to take a while. First 17 verses. Thank you, Pastor Carter. Chapter 21, the first 17 verses. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. They were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they said unto him, We'll also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples dared ask him, Who art you? Or who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then comes and takes bread and give it to them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they dined, Jesus said unto Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him a third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. We're going to talk about waiting on the Lord, and we're asking God to teach us to wait. How many of you are waiting on God to answer a prayer? Waiting for a breakthrough, waiting for a healing, waiting God to answer, waiting God for a certain type of deliverance in your life. He's made promises to you, and you found yourself in a season of just waiting, not knowing when God is going to answer, not knowing how God is going to answer, not knowing. But there's something in your heart that says God cannot fall short of his word. God has got to answer. But you find yourself in a time of struggle sometimes, whether have you missed it? Did you miss the word of God? Did you miss his promise? Are you misunderstanding what he said? Maybe it's for another time. Maybe it's for someone else. These disciples are at a crucial place in their walk of faith. You see, they had experienced walking with God, worshiping him, witnessing his power, witnessing his miraculous grace as he touched the poor, as he healed the lepers, as he raised the dead. They had seen him with their very eyes. They had walked with him for 3 years. They understood to a measure what his kingdom was about. Then they saw him be crucified. But now, more recently, they had seen him resurrected. They had seen his glorified self, and they were astonished at the fact that he would come back to them time and time again and reveal himself to them. But they're remembering the promises that God made to them. God had given them great and mighty promises. God had told them, I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to, greater works than what you've seen me do, you're going to do. Mighty promises. You're going to receive power. Power to tread upon scorpions and serpents and every power of the enemy that comes against you. You're going to have authority over these things. Incredible promises. You're going to ask, and whatever you ask in my name, God the Father is going to give it to you. Incredible promises. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to lay hands on them, and they're going to recover. You're going to pray for people, and demons are going to flee. Incredible promises. And yet at this moment, they're in the boat, probably hearing the crickets on the shore, looking at each other's faces and saying, this doesn't look much like all the things that he has promised us. I ran into a few of the choir members after the morning service, and they said, I can't wait to hear the message this afternoon on waiting on God and learn how to wait on God. And I told them, you have to wait. you laughed. I don't know. They didn't laugh, but I don't think they got my humor. But we got to wait. You know, sometimes God gives us promises and we want them now because we live in the now generation, you know. The faster, the better. Everything is instant. You want a verse from the Bible, take out your phone, you look up, you search the word, and bam, all the scriptures, right? Now. I want it now. And God gives us promises, and yet there's a season of waiting. But we've got to remember, Church of Jesus Christ, that season of waiting is ordained by God. It's not an accident. It's not our fault that now we have to wait. He told them, you wait for me in Jerusalem and you shall receive power. There's a waiting process. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's God ordained. When King David was anointed to be king, I imagine he would have wanted to become king the next week. Okay, when's this going to happen? Do I start packing my bags? But young David had to go through a cave experience before receiving the crown. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't sound appealing to a lot of us to go through a cave experience before the crown comes. Moses, he had heard the promises of becoming a deliverer. His mom taught him and instilled in him, God has great things for you. God has a plan for your life, a destiny for your life. You're going to help deliver the people of Israel. You're going to be an instrument of deliverance. But yet he had to go through a season of a desert experience out there in Midian before God could call him, before God could use him in fullness. And it's during this time, this crucial time, where you and I may find ourselves many times in our life, where confusion wants to set in, questions come. Is God angry at me? Have I blown it? Have I done something so wrong that now his blessing is waiting? Do I have to do something? Do I have to earn somehow favor? Do I have to do some type of penitence to earn back his favor? Is he frowning on me? And condemnation comes. Man, I can imagine the disciples just sitting in the boat. Peter, you just had to open your mouth and say that we were not going to deny him. You just had to bring us this so that we could all start saying and boasting, no, we're not going to deny him. No, we're not going to deny him. And look at us. Failures. We look at our own, we look in the mirror and we see our frailties. We see our failures. We see our shortcomings. And we begin to feel the voice of condemnation just bringing us down in that time of waiting. We begin to complain against God, against each other. We begin to complain against the church and begin to find fault in one another. We enter in a time of compromise where we don't want to really stand out. We say, let's just go fishing and just go back to what we usually do. You know, just go about business. We don't want to stand out, bring attention to ourselves, because there's danger in that right now. It's not too popular to be a Christian right now. It's not too popular to stand for Christ. It's not too popular to proclaim his name. So let's just, you know, go with the flow, get in our boat and do our thing. But in the midst of that, we catch nothing. In the midst of that compromise, we catch nothing. There's still an emptiness, and that void, God has placed it there. God has placed it there because he did promise us great things. He did say greater things we will do. He did promise us revival. He did promise us. He said, if my people who are called by my name would seek me, turn from their wicked ways, repent of their sins, would seek me with all their face, I will come. I will heal their land. I will deliver them. I will bring forth a glorious testimony of my name through them. I will use you for the glory of my name. He promised us this. And we've seen the price that he paid. The disciples had seen the cross. They had seen the beatings that he took for our redemption, for our deliverance, for our victory. They saw the price, the high price that he paid. And something within them stirs and says, this is not what God called us to. Fishing is good. Providing for our family is good. But God's got so much more. And that stirring is God placed. It's placed there by God. It's there in you. It's the promises of God rising up when we hear the word of God that convicts us, that says, press in deeper. I have more for you. And he shows up in the midst of our battles, in the midst of our complaining, in the midst of our condemnation, in the midst of our emptiness. Praise God, he shows up. He shows up to encourage us. He doesn't leave us there. He doesn't expect us to get out of that place, of that rut that we find ourselves in on our own. He doesn't expect us to strive and make it right and get it right and get it together. He comes. He comes to the shore of our need and he shows up. Praise God for that. Praise God. I pray that he shows up tonight, that this afternoon, I'm sorry, he shows up in the midst of your questions, in the midst of your wait, in the midst of your season of dryness, in the midst of your emptiness, that he would show up and he would encourage you and teach us how to wait. And I'm just going to share with you a few simple lessons that I feel the word of God speaks to us through this passage in how to go about waiting for him. We heard this morning, what do the righteous do? And now we continue with what do the righteous do while they're waiting on God to come through? When they've waited and they've asked God and they've believed God and they've thought to see glimpses of his victory in their life, but then they find themselves on a boat of despair and fear and uncertainty and questions and just confusion in their life. Well, I believe the number one thing, I mean, not number one thing, but the first thing that we find in this passage is to confess where we are presently. It's so beautiful. He says, children, do you got any meat? Have you caught any fish? And you know, this is Peter experimented in fishermanship. He's got his expertise. This is his area of, you know, talent. He's an experienced fisherman. It's kind of embarrassing to say I've been up all night and I haven't caught anything. You understand what I'm saying? He could have just said, yeah, we're good. We're good. We got this. No worries. We're going to catch something. He could have said, not much. You know, we haven't caught much. Well, they hadn't caught anything. And sometimes we kind of like tend to want to show an appearance of that we've got this, you know? And God said, do you? Do you got this? It's a voice of compassion, not condemnation. Hey, you got any fish? I've seen you out there for a while, you know? They must have seen his fire. They don't know who the stranger is out there on the shore. The scripture says he had a fire. They had toiled all night, so they had seen the fire. So they knew a stranger was out there. They had nothing to say but the truth. They had come to a place where they were not going to deny where they were anymore. They were just going to come out and say it. No. Plain as day. No. Jesus asked the blind man, how do you see? He confessed, well, I see, but I don't see all men clearly. Jesus touched him again. God comes to Adam, says, where are you? Where are you? God knows where Adam is, but he wants Adam to confess, this is where I am. This is what I've done. He comes to Cain and he asks him, where's your brother? He knows where Abel is. He's heard the cry of Abel's blood crying out from the ground, but he wants Cain to confess, I have fallen short of your glory, God. And in his compassion and mercy, he comes to his people. In a time of wilderness, in a time of waiting, in a time of desperation, in a time of emptiness. And he says, do you got anything? Do you got any fish? Are you satisfied where you are? Have you found fulfillment? And he's just asking us. He knows exactly where we are. He just wants us to come out with truth, with honesty before him. God, I need you. God, I'm disappointed. God, I'm frustrated. God, I'm in distress. God, I'm fearful. God, I don't think I have what it takes. I'm doubtful that you even hear my prayers. God, I come with you. I come to you with honesty in my heart. And I say, I need you desperately, God, in my situation. God, I'm empty and dry. I look at this situation in Oregon and I don't know if I have the strength to say, yes, I'm a Christian, when somebody points the gun to my head and says, are you a Christian? And I know they've been shooting Christians. I don't know what I'd say. I don't know if I would cower. I don't know if I'd say, no, man, I'm agnostic. I'm thinking about it. I don't know if I would stand for you, God. Let's be honest before God. God, I need courage. I need courage. I'm a wimp when it comes to testifying. I have the heart. I want to testify. I want to be a witness on the job. But God, I'm not there. When you open up the doors, I cower back and I say, maybe some other time. Have you got any fish? No. God, I need you. God, I need you. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. God wants us to be a people of truth. Because when he comes through and when the blessing comes and when revival hits New York City, he wants us walking in truth, folks. He wants us pointing to the only one who deserves the glory and the honor. He doesn't want a people who are going to touch the glory and says, you know, we got it right. You know, we've been doing this thing in Times Square Church, you know. We got this prayer meeting thing down packed, you know. We know how to approach the throne. God forbid. God forbid. When God comes in with power and might and authority, we will point to God and say, it is by his mercy, it is by his compassion, it's all his grace, and God deserves all the glory. Because we had nothing. We had nothing. God's not asking you to come because you've got it all together. When we invite you to come to the prayer meeting on Tuesday night, it's not because you've prayed through and because you've had a great week. Come when you feel all empowered. Come weak as you are. Come as honest as you can be and say, God, I've got nothing, but I'm coming because I hear your voice saying, come. And you are the only hope for this nation. You're the only hope for my generation. You're the only hope for my neighbors and my family. So I come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The testimony will be only God could have done it. And when God comes through and answers your prayer requests, you will give God all the glory because you came to him in truth and he will keep you in truth. Number two, consider the fact that God can use ordinary people. It's interesting that the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus, and yet they responded to his voice, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. I find it interesting. I don't know if you find it interesting. Because there was a time where Jesus had told them, cast the net on the other side. And they knew it was Jesus speaking. So, you know, it's pretty easy when Jesus speaks it to you. You hear the voice of thunder and God just resounds with an echo in your heart. Cast the net on the other side. Yes, Lord, at thy word, I will do it. Whatever you say, right? Yeah. But when it's a stranger sharing the counsel, then it's a little bit more difficult for us to receive that word. When it's the voice of your boss giving you some counsel, saying move the time card from the left side to the right side. It's just a short distance, you know. It's hard to see that that's God speaking to you. A word of diligence and responsibility. A word of testimony. Be a testimony in your workplace. And yet it's coming probably from an ungodly boss. And you're rebuking the guy, the poor person. You're saying, oh, this, how dare he touch the anointed of God. When it comes from your wife or your spouse or from somebody else, you know, just a simple word. Hey, maybe you should do this. That doesn't sound spiritual enough. Well, when God speaks it to me, then probably I will respond. And God is saying, man, sometimes we're waiting for some super spiritual giant to come and speak to us. You know, because we're going through a wilderness, so we're looking for who's going to touch me, who's going to anoint me, who's going to pray for me. My friend, God had to close their eyes to who he was so that he could open their understanding to the fact that God can use ordinary people to speak the word of God into your life. Now, we've got to know this, and God wants to teach us this in our time of waiting, because we are the ordinary people that God wants to use. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And if we don't believe that ordinary people can speak to us, how can we believe that we can speak to others and invest in their life and impart grace to their life through what God has spoken to us? Amen? So we look for spiritual superstars sometimes to pray for us, to anoint us, to lay hands on us. And when Pastor Carter says, meet 10 people, we look for the 10 most spiritual looking people around. Because we don't want to just mingle with ordinary folk. Right? And we want to sit together with those who are spiritual, those seem on fire for God. Because we're going through a time and we need them. And praise God. Praise God for all those who worship in fervor and But my friends, you can receive a word from the person who's just quiet there. You will be surprised at who is in touch with God and who has a word for you and for me. I could share testimonies of people in this congregation, the least likely that had a word and just in season came and just spoke a word that was liberating. Amen? So let's move on. You and I are the not many noble, the not the mighty. We're not the wise and the powerful. We're the foolish things of this world that God has chosen to confound the weak and the wise in their own strength. God will use an Ananias like we heard on Tuesday night. To go and pray for Saul of Tarsus, someone who just, like our pastor shared, just comes on the stage of scriptures and then he's out and you never hear of him again. And yet he'll choose someone who's just an ordinary guy to do an extraordinary work. Amen? Let's learn that in our wilderness. Let's learn that in our time of waiting. Number three, count the blessings he's already poured out on us. It says that he brought to land the net full of fish, 153. I don't know how long it took them to count how many fish. I just don't know. But they give an exact number of how many fish were pulled into the shore through these nets. And you know, we tend to live life focused on what we don't have, focused on what God has yet to answer. And we sometimes fall into the trap of forgetting what he has already done for us. And my friends, we don't want to come. We have our prayer requests. You and I have our prayer requests. But it says, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving in your heart. With praise upon your lips. Enter his courts with praise. And that's not a formula so we can get what we want. You know what? It's not buttering up God. It's not buttering him up so he could feel nice about himself. So then we could lay it on him and say, by the way, God, I need you to answer this prayer request. I've praised you enough. I worshiped you for some, you know, few minutes before. So you owe this to me. You feeling good now, God? Now I'm going to lay on my request before you. No. He says, enter in his gates with thanksgiving, because that's what he's calling us to do, to align our hearts with him, with the reality that he has blessed us and we have a reason to give praise. We have a reason to thank him. We can count and recount those 153 fish, and with each one, as we're counting them, the nets of emptiness are now being filled. Where there was no faith, now there's faith. We're saying, one more fish, oh my God, all night we were toiling, and now we have fish. I was thinking I had to go home, and I had to share with my children, sorry guys, there's no food on the table, but now I have something to bring to my family. Oh man, I got fish to share with my neighbor's kids. I heard my neighbor telling their children, don't go following that Jesus guy, because look how he's left them. They left their nets, they left their fish. I wonder how they're going to sustain themselves. Now I got fish for them. Hallelujah. A testimony that God is faithful and he doesn't desert those who wait on him, those who put their trust in him. Hallelujah. 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 Be careful. We tend to focus on what we don't have. We tend to focus on what God has yet to answer us. God, how long am I going to be praying for a wife? How long am I going to be praying for a better job? How long am I going to be praying for finances, a better place to live? God, you got to get me out of this place. Yes, those are all good. And there's all honest prayers before God. But my friends, the word of God is encouraging us. In that moment of wait, begin to count the fish that God has already placed in your hand. Oh, Times Square Church. Times Square Church, we want revival to hit this city. We want the flood of his grace to cover every corridor of this city, from the highest penthouse to the deepest gutter. We want God's grace to come, but let's enter his courts with praise and with thanksgiving. Let's remember what he's done for us. Oh my goodness. Look at this band. Look at these choir members that we have. These voices, they could be on America's Got Talent. They could be on America's Idol, they could be on The Voice, they could be on anything, and win, and we got them here singing for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God has been so good to us. You and I have got a reason to praise him. We've got a reason to glorify his name. Count your blessings, and your heart, the nets of your heart will begin to fill with faith and hope in this one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll give you faith to believe for that prayer request that you've been bringing before him. Oh, you'll fill your nets with gratitude for all that he's done for you. There'll be peace and rest and joy and hope in your heart once again. We've got a reason to praise him. Let's count our blessings. Fourthly, let's contribute that which he has already provided. This is amazing. He says in verse 10, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Oh, the humility of God, that he would say, you caught the fish. That he would say, bring what you caught. Are you kidding me? This is what I'm thinking. I'm just thinking, are you kidding me? Someone like Pastor Carter gives me $1,000 and says, can I have one? And I'm saying, are you kidding me? You understand what I'm saying? He's given us a multitude. He was the one who provided the catch. And now he's saying, bring of the fish that you caught. We didn't catch this, God. You gave it to us. And sometimes we're stingy with what God asks us to bring for his table. I'm not calling my daughter stingy, but when I buy them French fries, like Pastor Delina shared one time here, and then I want a fry, my hand almost gets bitten. What are you doing taking my fries? Wait a minute, I just bought these fries for you. God says, bring what I've given you. Yes, I've let you partake in it. It seems like if you got it, but my friends, God has given you that job that you have, that education that you worked for, that you studied for, my friends, that title that you have, God gave it to you. God gave it to you. That roof that you're under, God gave it to you. That money in your wallet, God gave it to you. Hallelujah. So, my friends, don't buy the lie that you have to wait for God to give you certain greater blessing before you can be of any service to his kingdom. He's already given you enough. Come with what he's given you, and God will do wonders through your life. He produces the catch, not you, not me. We've got something to offer him because he put it there. He put it there. Oh, but I'm so weak. I'm not a prayer warrior. I can't really go and participate in that prayer. I can't pray. My friends, none of us that stand here in the platform feel qualified to be praying for what we're praying for on Tuesday nights. My friends, we're all shuddering in our seats saying, oh, Pastor Carter's eyesight, pass us by. Let him pass us by. We're saying, Jesus, don't pass us by, but we're saying, Pastor Carter's eyes, pass us by. Don't call on us to pray. We don't want to be up here to pray. But we come. We come with what we have because we know God has given it to us. And we put it in his hands. Hallelujah. My friends, we've got a song to sing because he's already singing over us. We say, I'm waiting here for you with my hands lifted high. And he's been singing over us. I've been waiting here for you with my arms open wide. Right? We sing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. Like if we're doing some great sacrifice for God. And Jesus say, I've been singing that since Calvary. Withholding nothing. I've got everything you need. I'm here for you. Hallelujah. Fifth point. Commune at the table that he has already prepared. He's got the fire. He's got the coals. He had the bread. He had the fish. It was already going. And sometimes we feel we got to press through. We got to fight through this thing. And we got to do it in our own strength. And if we could only understand that Jesus has made a way for us to commune with him. Jesus said, come have breakfast. Sit down. Let's do breakfast. I know you've been praying for this issue and for that issue and for all these struggles that you're going through, but I want you to commune with me. I want you to sit down with me. Look at my countenance. You've been looking at my hand for so long. When is it going to come? When is that blessing going to come from my hand? I want you to focus on me. Just sit down, relax. I've got you. And he begins to serve us bread and begins to commune with us. My friends, it's time for us in that time of waiting to just come into his presence to commune with him, for him, not for what we can get from him. But for him, We forget sometimes that what he has prepared for us is a breakfast buffet. He's got it all for us laid out. He's got the bacon, the eggs, the cereal, the cold cereal, the hot cereal. He's got it all for us. Remember the marriage supper of the Lamb and the parable of the marriage supper of that father who made a marriage supper for his son, and he invited the many guests, and they made excuses not to come because they had things to do. And my friends, the reason why the king gets upset at this is because everything was prepared. Everything that they needed to even respond to this invitation was given to them by the Father. So my friends, we have been given a great invitation into his presence, just to know him, and everything else falls into its place. All our worries, all our concerns, all our questions begin to fade to the wayside as we enter into his presence just to commune for him. Abraham waiting for that promised child, looking at himself, looking at his wife, saying, it doesn't look like it's ever going to happen. But Jesus appears to him. God appears to him and says, Abraham, don't fear. I am your great and exceeding reward. It's not the promise that you're going to receive. It's not the child that I'm going to bring into your life. I am. Focus your eyes once again on me. I am your great and exceeding reward. So let's commune at the table that he has already prepared for us. Amen. And lastly, let's care for the body of believers that he has purchased. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Tend to my sheep. Remember, Peter, when you professed how much you loved me more than the others, you said, even if everyone denies you, I'm not going to deny you. Now I'm asking you, do you love me? Do you love me? You know that in your own strength, you will fail me every time. You thought you had to prove yourself. You thought you had to prove your devotion to me, that somehow you had to earn points in my presence. You had to do something to pay for all the times you denied me. You girded yourself. You dove in the water. You were the first one to swim to shore. I'm telling you, I'm not asking you for some great striving sacrifice. All I want you to do is take care of the body that I purchased. Take care of the people that I so love. Take care of the lambs. Be tender with them. Don't lord over them. Be gentle. Love them. Don't neglect the gathering of the saints. Don't try to do this in your own strength. Don't become a lone ranger out on your own trying to win the world for God. You need the body. The body needs you, and the world needs the body. So give yourself to tending to the flock. Give yourself. This is not a word just for pastors and just for preachers and just for people that are in the ministry. This is for you and I, ordinary folk. Guys, give yourself to encouraging one another, to the person that's on your right and on your left. This is what the body of Christ is all about. This is what communion is, what we shared today. Because what the Lord has given me, I give unto you. For what I received of the Lord, I give unto you. God gives you grace. Now share it with the brother and sister next to you. Amen? Encourage one another. Lift up one another. Edify one another. You say, with what? With what I give you, the Lord says. You say, how can I love them? How can I tend for them? With the love that you have for me. Do you love Jesus this afternoon? Jesus saying, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, care for them. Oh, but God has such great things in store for me. I imagine sold out stadiums. I imagine people slain in the spirit. And God is saying, you know what? I have some saints that need some strength. I have some saints that need some strengthening. I have some people that need an encouraging word today. Are you willing to do that? Do that while you wait on God. Take care of his people. And God will use your life for the glory of his name. If you could stand up now in his presence, and we're just going to open up the altars. For anyone who has grown weary and waiting, anyone who's going frustrated and saying, God, when are you going to come through? And just wants to say, God, I want to wait on you the right way. I don't want to wait on you in a way that dishonors your name and professes you to be a God who withholds something from us. God, forgive me for that. God, I want to wait on you in a way that glorifies your name. If that's you, feel free as the musicians worship, feel free to come, and we're going to pray with you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we acknowledge your sovereignty. We acknowledge that your timing is perfect, that your ways are good, and Father, that you know what's best for us. God, we ask your forgiveness for trying to twist your hand and trying to make you do what's already on your heart to do. God, we don't want to rush you into doing something there, God, in our time. We want you to do it in your time. So, God, in the meantime, give us the grace to wait. In the meantime, give us the faith to trust you. In the meantime, give us a heart that worships you, no matter what we see before us, dear God, because you truly are worthy. Give us a heart for this, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just share one last scripture with you. Isaiah 40, verse 28 and on. It says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he faints not, neither does he get weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." God bless you. Encourage one another with those words.